We read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23. For I received from the Lord what also I passed on to you. On the night he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, in the sacrament of the altar, Jesus tells us his body and blood are there with the bread and the wine. Not symbolically, not in the sense that the bread and the wine are represent his body and blood, but they are really there, yet in a way that our senses cannot sense them. We simply recognize and believe what the Bible says, what Jesus says. It is there, and it is for you. And that supper will never fail to benefit you fully, completely, bestow on you what you need right now for your faith, for your salvation, for your comfort, for your endurance in the faith until the day you die. It is this body and blood that is being offered and distributed to you in this sacrament. But it is not a body and blood that is detached from history. It is a body and blood connected to a certain time and event. So we go back to the cross just outside of Jerusalem about the year 30 AD, where we find that body and blood. Jesus said seven words from the cross. One of those words was, my God, why have you forsaken me?" This is both a rhetorical and a prophetical question found in Psalm 22. Jesus has been forsaken by his Father, abandoned, all alone, or as we say quite often these days, isolated. You know, it may turn out in our present coronavirus crisis that isolation will cause more harm and death than the virus itself. Quite a few studies tell us about the great seriousness of isolation, sometimes even comparing it, in one study I read, to smoking two or three packs of cigarettes a day. And many nations during war utilized solitary confinement as a means of torture, breaking down the bravest of men and even driving some to insanity. It is not good for man to be alone. That's not the way we were created. But the greatest isolation that you and I could ever experience is when God abandons or forsakes us. Here in this life, we have abandoned, forsaken God. That is the essence of sin. But after this life, if that sin of us forsaking God is not fixed, is not removed, God will abandon us and forsake us forever. That is what hell is. It is the ultimate isolation, the worst solitary confinement, an eternal torture, being forsaken by God. And that is the forsaking that Jesus is expressing and experiencing on the cross when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why? And that is the all-important question. Why would the Son be forsaken to that horrible degree? There's no better word that answers that question than the word vicarious, which means substitutionary. Though Jesus had no sin of his own, he carried everyone's sins to the cross. Though he committed no sin, he was charged with every sin. Though he constantly and perfectly trusted God, his Father, to his dying breath, his Father said, I see you, my only begotten Son. I see you and you alone as a sinner, the sinner, and you will pay. So that is the historical reality of that body and blood on the cross. And that is why the Son, with his body and blood, was there to be your substitute, your vicarious payment, to pay what you were to pay for your hell, your being forsaken by God, so that it would never happen to you. And that brings me to another word Jesus spoke on the cross. It is finished. This is the greatest single word, for it is just one word in the Greek, the greatest single word that is ever spoken. It is completed. It is done. The payment is made. Forgiveness has been accomplished. Not for some, but for all sins. Done, completed, finished. What that means for you is that you have no role to play in that payment, in achieving forgiveness and earning it. It is not a matter of what you might do or could do, but it's a matter of what was already been done back then by a man who was also God. That is what the body and blood was all about back then, buying and paying for forgiveness of your sins and received by faith. And that is also what the body and blood of Jesus being offered in the sacrament is all about today. When you receive the sacrament, when you receive the sacramental bread and wine, you receive the real body and blood of Jesus, the very same body and blood that was on that cross back then, the body that suffered and the blood that was shed for all sins, for your sins. As Luther says in the Small Catechism, the benefit that we receive from such eating and drinking is shown us by these words, given and shed for you for the remission of sins, namely that in this sacrament, forgiveness of sins, life and salvation are given us through these words, for where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. And that body and blood will always benefit you, the believer. I'm not talking about the unbeliever here, but this is why we have to get the message out. But I'm talking about the believer. It will always benefit you. You have all you need for the benefit of your Christian faith, for your comfort, for your salvation, for your Christian life, for enduring in the faith until the day you die. So do you hear me? I am your pastor, and I tell you this so that you may know how valuable this sacrament is every time you receive it. And some of you out there may be saying, why are you doing this to us, Pastor? Why are you torturing us? You know we can't be there now to receive it. I do so because I want you to desire to receive it again I want you to long for it. So when the day comes, hopefully soon, when we are free to move about again, you will run and pound on the church doors and say, "Let me in. Give me that sacrament. Give me the body and blood of my Savior." Or you will call me up and say, "Pastor, bring me that sacrament and bring me the gospel and word." But until then, you still have a sure comfort. You have the comfort of the forgiveness from Christ that comes to you by his word, which is no less real and no less effective. When the pastor says to you, "By the authority of God and my holy office, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," that is backed up by the word and command of Jesus as well. And if no pastor is present, another Christian also has the duty to bring you the gospel of Christ and assure you of his forgiveness for you. So rest in that. And then pray that this craziness will be lifted soon. And so, brothers and sisters, know and believe, whether it be in word or sacrament, the words of Jesus are true. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.